Thank you to everyone who listened to last week's tribute to my mom's birthday, and I certainly enjoyed recording it. I hope you all enjoyed the lunar eclipse or the solar eclipse or whatever kind of eclipse it was yesterday, if you were in that path. We were barely in the path, and I posted a video on my YouTube channel, so maybe you'll check that out. The renovation continues, and I was thinking about what I would do this intermission episode on, and well, I had a couple of ideas. I decided I would just continue the journey with a shortened episode with those first decisions after my second and final retirement. And there's no question that retiring really was bittersweet, and it was time because the FDIC was well into the post-crisis mode. And most importantly, it was the right time for my own health. And while I did enjoy all of the careers that I had in my time working for the federal government, it was rewarding. And at the same time, you know when it's time to leave. I had a lot of work to do initially to process my benefits, and that took up the first several months. I'll say, I guess, looking back, at least 4 months. And the next step was to think about how I was going to first take care of myself, and second, think about what my new world would look like, knowing this was going to be the last time I was going to retire. When I left the Air Force the first time, I was more focused on finding work because I was still young and I wasn't really retired. After I retired from the Air Force, I had planned not to work, and at the same time, as you know, I was involved in applying for jobs, and that process was unfolding rather quickly because I retired in February and I started working at the FDIC in May, so it was a short time in between. This time, it would be different because I would be home all the time, and I decided first look at what I needed to do in my condo since I would be home. And there were two areas on my mind since I had moved in that now I had the time to actually think about them. And that brings me to the first renovation that was about a decade ago. And it's the area that I'm refurbishing today. It's the master bathroom. Like many multifamily homes or condominiums, storage is a premium. And with two bedrooms, I had several closets, including one in the second bathroom, and yet there wasn't a closet in the master bathroom. So that was a little bit of a priority. The renovation took the tub out since I am not a bath person at all. The plan was to enlarge the shower and install a small closet in the corner. I found a young contractor who was just starting his business and I thought I would give him a chance. He was very flexible with the plan and had enough experience to help with suggestions as the project was unfolding. And I like that aspect because seeing something sketched out and the final product are two very different things. The biggest shift was how much glass would be in the shower, because at first I wanted to have a very large glass shower on the two sides. And with almost 9-foot ceilings, I was thinking, who is going to clean the glass? Oh, that would be me. So we're in the process, and he suggested maybe we put a shorter wall on the one side and a spa door. Okay, what's a spa door? It's just a shorter door, just over 3 feet high, and there would be a nice step down from the wall to the door. It sounded perfect. And he actually found a glass company that made shower doors that were nearly maintenance-free. Now, I tell you, it wasn't cheap, and yet it's still in perfect condition today, and we're going to use that door in the current renovation. The other thing that came up was that my windows were higher than the ceiling for the transom, and so we put lights inside that space for all of the windows and the patio door. And so that was a very nice improvement. The one thing that I did that I really wish I hadn't done was that I decided to keep the same tile as the original tile so that we wouldn't have to tear up the bathroom floor. And that was really a mistake, and I'm correcting that now. It was during this project that I also focused on putting in accessories like the towel racks and the rain head and so forth with squared off finish rather than round ones, and that preference continues today. There were quite a few challenges because in the condominium, the studs are made out of steel versus wood. And so the glass door was really a challenge because it was heavy and it kept tilting, and he finally figured a way to keep it so it was upright. And the other really cool idea that we came up with was to put French doors in the bathroom. By putting in French doors, you add space to the bathroom because the door isn't swinging into the bathroom, and rather short French doors folded out into the hallway. And the way the hallway was construed, it was actually quite perfect. Finally, the medicine cabinet was a challenge because I wanted a bigger medicine cabinet, and they don't really make big medicine cabinets that would fit the space that I had. And so we actually used a small cupboard that matched the what we were doing in the bathroom with the vanity and so forth. And so it actually jetted into the master bedroom closet about, I think it's close to 6 inches, which I was fine with, and it gave me a very nice medicine cabinet in the bathroom. Shortly after I did the bathroom renovation, I wanted to also, or rather needed to also, replace the carpet in the bedrooms. We found a place that replaced, that does carpet. It was a very nice place. And so we put nice carpet in both bedrooms. And while we were at it, the tile in the kitchen was a challenge because it had very wide grout lines, which was actually very, very hard to clean. And so I put some Italian tile in the kitchen, which was beautiful. And there's a little story about that a little bit later down the road. So initially, by doing these smaller renovations in the condo, because I was going to be home all the time, it made the home feel a lot nicer, and I was very pleased with the outcome of both projects. The other plan, as all of you know by now, was that I traveled a lot, both at work at NDU internationally, and mostly traveled within the United States when I was at the FDIC doing motivational speaking and speaking to the various groups of employees. So I knew I wanted to continue to travel more now that I was retired. And I have mentioned several previous episodes, especially in the short takes, with some advice about traveling, and I might expand on some of those through these next episodes. So I started thinking about where I wanted to go, and most of my travel, or all of my travel initially, were with different friends that were available, and that was fun, and at the same time a challenge because they're still working, and scheduling had to be structured around their schedules. After about the first 18 months or so, maybe a little bit less, I decided to try a trip by myself overseas. And my friends were great traveling companions because their interests expanded mine, and my interests, I hope, expanded theirs. And so the trips were filled with all kinds of different activities, and certainly some that I wouldn't have done had I been by myself. My first trip alone was to London, and while it was a bit different for me, it was a great trip, and so when schedules aligned, that was great. Otherwise, I was out on my own and had much more flexibility with scheduling and so forth. And with my trip to London, I learned traveling by myself was perfectly fine. In fact, there are some advantages to it as well. What I'll tell you is traveling is like eating Lay's potato chips. Once you start, you can't stop. Some would ask me how I chose where to go. Well, first, I found several sites to help me think about ideas. And since I was a United guy, they also had a page where you could see the prices to all over the world for a defined period of time. And so a sale might show up and I would pick that location if it was of interest. The other way was a bit less conventional. I would watch daytime game shows like The Price is Right, and I'd look into the places that were prizes on the shows, and while some were not interesting, many were. In fact, the best good idea from the game shows was Aruba. And it's like any other beach destination. It's very peaceful and relaxed, and the beach sand is just gorgeous. And I've been there at least 4 times and rank it as my favorite beach destination. Traveling does take a lot of planning, and that became almost like a full-time job because almost every single day I was working on trips that were scheduled, trips that were coming up, and also what was going to be on the horizon. And over this period of time, I had between 6 and 10 trips somewhere in that process at any given time. And by that time, of course, having airline and hotel status is really beneficial when you travel. And not everyone that travels can obtain that status, and I certainly get that. So the first years of retirement were set. Travel as much as I could, and when I got home, enjoy my newly refreshed home. In hindsight, the traveling was like an escape in some ways, and I suppose in hindsight, that was okay. And that's how the plan came about. After those first couple of years, I also decided that I wanted to find some additional hobbies. I continued to bike a lot more than I drove my car. And my personal trainer from when I was working at the FDIC agreed to continue training by coming to my place, where I transformed a quarter of the spare room into a small gym. Still, I was looking for another idea. And I had toyed with growing bonsai trees in the past, and without success. And when I say without success, I mean I murdered more trees than I can remember. After mentioning to a friend that I was thinking about trying bonsai again, they too were interested and had just seen an ad for a one-day bonsai class at the Wolf Trap Nursery. So we signed up that day to go to the class. And it was amazing. You actually get one tree to do hands-on with the instructor that you take home. There were about a dozen people in the class, and that worked out very nicely. The instructor was amazing. In just one day, you learned all the basics from potting a tree to wiring and the initial care of how to trim the roots. The tree I picked was a variegated ficus, and I initially named all of my trees, and his name is Tim. And Tim is still doing quite well. Before the class, I also tried planting seeds, and while many sprouted, few survived. And after all the fits and starts with trees by seed, only one did well. And since it was my first tree that sprouted just ahead of when we took the class, his name is Adam. Adam is a tropical tree that folds its leaves up every evening, and he reopens every day. When he was younger, it took about 20 minutes. Now, it takes a couple of hours every single day to open and then close. And I did some research, and the reason is so that it can allow as much night moisture in rain to get to his roots. Of course, that makes sense. Over time, the bonsai experience grows and grows, and I'll share more about my experimentation with them down the road. One of the things I had to do was figure out how they would be watered when I was gone on my trips, and that was also easily solved with a process that I use to this day. Well, we're about ready to close this short episode because I do have limited time to get the recordings done, and so you're not disturbed by renovation noise. The project should wrap up either Friday or next Monday, and we'll see what time allows for next week before we get to regular length episodes. I hope the weather is good where you are. I hope that you weren't in the path of the earthquakes that were held around the world, to include in New York City, rather New Jersey with aftershocks in New York City, or the tornadoes in the Midwest. I think we can all agree there seems to be a lot of weather recently. Have a great week, have courage, and be kind, as Cinderella's mom would tell us.